listening to the Caffeinated Thoughts Podcast. Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart. Welcome to another episode. Today I wanted to talk about tax relief in Iowa. The Iowa Senate just passed a pretty big bill, the Iowa Working Families Tax Relief Act, that would provide corporate as well as individual income tax relief. It does some things with our sales tax as well. To discuss this, I invited Drew Klein to have a conversation with me. He's the Iowa State Director with Americans for Prosperity. But before I get to that conversation, first a word from our sponsors.
At American Principles Project, we believe that human dignity should be at the heart of public policy. We work in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. to promote life, religious freedom, local control over education, authentic economic progress for working Americans, and a return to constitutional principles such as federalism. Want to help American Principles Project? Visit our website today, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. That's AmericanPrinciples, P-L-E-S, Project.org. Sign up for email updates. Help us out. We want to work with you. That's AmericanPrinciplesProject.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a life insurance plan that makes sense for you, call my friend Travis Riswold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. That's Travis Riswold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
And we're back. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Drew Klein, the Iowa State Director with Americans for Prosperity. Hey, Drew, thanks for taking the time to talk with us about the tax reform bills making their way through the Iowa Senate. The Iowa Senate just passed Senate File 2383 yesterday. Could you tell us in a nutshell what this does and also, you know, what significant amendments were made to the original bill, which was Senate Study Bill 3197?
Sure. So it's a big bill. There's a lot of complexities within there, and so I'll kind of try to tick through some of those. The big stuff up front. This is absolutely a tax cut bill, and so it is lowering rates across the board. It also, in order to achieve that tax reduction, couples with the new federal tax law in a number of ways. So increasing standard deduction, adopting kind of the federal approach to creating a deduction for small businesses and pass-throughs. It simplifies those and lowers those rates on both the individual and the corporate side of the Iowa tax code. And on the simplification side of things as well, there are a number of things that occur, including reducing the number of tax brackets, eliminating the alternative minimum tax, which is a big burden and creates new complexity, and then maybe one of the things that we've heard a lot about in Iowa, but is the federal deductibility piece and starting to phase that out, and specifically on federal deductibility, that's a piece that many Iowans will remember. You know, Republicans fought tooth and nail in the not so distant past to save federal deductibility. And as we look at what's going on with federal deductibility now, it's important that we recognize that if you're going to get rid of federal deductibility, which absolutely shields Iowans from an increased tax liability at times, you've got to make sure that you're lowering rates
right
at an appropriate level to protect them. It also The Senate package does a number of other things that I think are really important. On the corporate side, not only are we reducing rates, but we're actually getting rid of a lot of these tax credits and the things that we hear about is not only creating complexity and some uncertainty when it comes to budgeting, but also this is just the mechanism that we hear about all of the time that we hate, the picking winners and losers, the corporate welfare stuff. Let's start to rein that down, eliminate our reliance on those types of mechanisms, and instead create a tax environment that treats everybody fair and puts us on a better path to growth. Some of the other things that have been controversial within that is eliminating kind of the exemption from taxing credit unions in the state of Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
That's being viewed as a fairness thing between credit unions and banks.
Right.
Certainly not something that my organization has weighed in specifically on, but certainly some vibrant commentary and arguments on both sides of that issue. And then there's also some e-fairness stuff. So looking for ways to quite directly to tax some digital transactions, some online sales, which again, traditionally, my organization is opposed to that. When you put it in context of the massive tax cuts that are occurring in other places, it makes sense. You got to be able to pay for those tax cuts somehow.
Right.
Certainly a lot of that payment is going to come through reducing the budget in other areas, but that's certainly some of the arguments. And then finally, just as an overview of the package, and one of the things that I think is most impressive about this is that after the several years of scaled tax cuts, there's a long-term trigger in place in the Senate bill that says that we're going to continue cutting taxes on the personal side every year starting in 2023,
yeah,
based on the rate of inflation. So if you've got inflation at 2% for the year, then everybody gets a 2% reduction in their tax rate as well. And so you really put yourself on a long-term trajectory to continue driving tax rates lower and lower and lower. And hopefully someday we'll see an Iowa that doesn't have a personal income tax.
Right. So that would be awesome. Just a couple of thoughts as you were talking here. One, when they introduced their bill, I was actually surprised that it included corporate income tax reform. Not because we don't need it, we do, but because Governor Reynolds made it kind of plain in her, in the condition of state that's not one of her priorities this year. As far as there was a feeling, at least she conveyed that we weren't able to afford it. Also.
Sure.
I see Legislative Services Agency, their fiscal note basically says we're going to drop revenue by about $1 billion, which, I could just hear the liberals saying 3, 2, 1, okay, hyperventilate. how are we able to afford this? How many cuts? I'm just thinking, where can we cut more? I mean, I know we can cut more, don't get me wrong, but I think your average Iowan's thinking, wow, I mean, yeah, I appreciate the tax cut, but how can we afford this?
Yeah, well, and I think there are a couple things that are important to point out. A, there are some pay-for type things within the bill, so the sales tax stuff, some of the what they're calling e-fairness is in the bill. Eliminating and drawing back on tax credits is going to save the state, either save the state some money if we're talking about refundability, or generate some greater revenue from those sources as well. So there's some of that stuff, but I think the other two really important things to recognize is that conservatives believe that supply side economics works, and that when you reduce the tax rate, either on individuals or on businesses, that you actually see growth, and growth leads to greater revenue.
Right.
as a result. So that's important, and I don't think conservatives should shy away from that. When you listen to Senator Feenstra, he's saying that they also have are working on a budget that matches this and that doesn't rely purely on economic growth to be able to cover all of this. And economic growth is going to be a lagging result of tax reform. We're not going to see massive economic growth in year one of the cuts.
Right.
So we do have to be cognizant of that. The other thing that Iowans need to understand is that our budget at the state level has doubled in the last 12 to 15 years. And so there is absolutely plenty of fat that, that we can trim. Some of it is
but K-12 being funding.
Smarter about the way.
K-12 education funding, Drew. It's, you want to take away from children?
Yes, absolutely. No, that accounts for some massive growth in state government,
right.
but it's certainly not all of it. And there are a lot of places that we should continue to look. I give an example, and this is really not even a cut. This is just modernization within state government is a key place for us to start looking. If you go look at big corporate structures and how they're operating, you look at big corporations with subsidiaries and different things, they're setting up these centers for shared services so that all of their purchasing is being done by a single entity, and their payroll and their HR and on and on and on. They're centralizing these services because economics works. If you rely on economies of scale and centralized purchasing and some of those different things, you can start to really rein that in. Not to mention the fact that we have not really had a reorganization and modernization of state government since the introduction of the smartphone. And so there are a lot of places that we should probably be using technology to replace expensive overhead as it relates to state government. We have one of the highest ratios in the Midwest, if not the highest ratios in the Midwest, of state employees to citizens. And we've got to find smart ways to draw that down to be more efficient in our budget in those ways. And that's not even to mention all of the other, just wasteful, duplicative things that we're doing in state government. There are plenty of areas for us to find those dollars to afford a tax cut, which is interesting because when we talk about affording a tax cut, we're almost buying into the premise that this is really the government's money and
yes.
we have to find a way to loosen it up. But it's our money. We need to have government live within their means and figure out how to prioritize things in an effective way to put more of our money back in our own pockets.
Well, just one area of that's been highlighted like yesterday. I believe the Iowa Supreme Court did a presentation, or Chief Justice Katie did a presentation on the cuts within the judicial branch. And I, this is something my family and I have talked about. My wife's actually an outgoing judicial specialist in the 5th Judicial District, so she's been hearing about the budget cuts in the judicial branch for quite a while. You know, on the surface, when you look at it, I mean, one thing that really bothered me was this attitude that we're never going to touch education funding. Because, I look at the judicial branch and, they were being cut quite a bit. But that's not to say they can't. Because I know some people were bemoaning the potential closing of 30, or at least not the counties closing down these courthouses, but stop having court in about 30 courthouses across the state. And, the thought that occurred to me is, why do we need to have 99, courthouses operational? Obviously.
And Shane, those are great questions to ask, because if we look at the history of it, there are actually really plain answers. The reason we had 99 counties with 99 courthouses was so that in the day that was instituted, that anybody in the state of Iowa would have access to a courtroom within one day's horse ride.
Right, right. And
well, we can get a little bit further, a little bit faster today.
I'd like to think
so. You can consolidate a lot.
Even
of that.
If you take public transportation, you could still do that.
Heck, could Uber. You could thumb a ride. I mean, I don't know what the exact percentages are, but most Iowans drive a car themselves, or if not, have a friend that would help them out. And then, on top of that, we have lots of public transportation to deal with that, even in some of the rural parts of the state of Iowa.
Right. Obviously, those courthouses will still be operational for the most part, because county offices are office out of there typically in the smaller rural counties, too. But, to think that we have to have court in every single county
in the state is it's crazy. You know, I'm sorry, county attorneys can travel if they need to. So I'm sure that hopefully they will do it in a way that's that makes sense and fair for everybody. So, you know, you don't have one particular region in the the state that's having to travel further than others. But still, I mean, things like that. And you're right, modernization. Going back to the actual tax cut or the bill, I'm looking at some of the top rates. So for instance, top rate in the personal income tax is going to be reduced initially from 8.98% to 6.60%, eventually down to 6.30%. Then looking at the corporate income tax, the top rate drops from 12% to 7%, which that's huge. Where does that position Iowa with our neighbors and even nationally?
Yeah, I have not compared, done a lot of comparison. I believe that the numbers that I've heard is that it puts us, moves us from, I think right now we're ranked about top four or worst four in individual taxes, and this would bring us to somewhere in the mid-teens. And I think it does something similar in the business on the business side, those corporate tax cuts, which the corporate tax cut doesn't actually bring top marginal rate down quite that low until 2022.
Okay.
The initial cut just takes us from 12 to 10%, and that really just, quite frankly, accounts for the loss of federal deductibility. It's not till 21, 22, those fiscal years, those budget years, that we start to see those rates come down even further. And so, yeah, certainly is going to make us a lot more competitive. It's going to mean that we have a better tax environment than Illinois, which I think a lot of Iowans, miss that fact that Illinois
right.
is actually a more tax-friendly state, at least in income taxes, than Iowa is right now.
Which is crazy.
Just absurd to think about that as an Iowan who loves to spend time mocking how dysfunctional the state of Illinois is, but then to think that that my taxes are maybe worse than theirs
right.
is a little disturbing. So yeah, so I mean it's certainly going to have a dramatic improvement, but I think we should also recognize that we're not operating in a static environment. There are a lot of states right now that are looking at cutting taxes and reforming their tax codes, for the same reasons that Iowa is, or in response to the federal tax cuts. Missouri to the south is their legislature is considering a number of tax changes as well. And so this is a competitive environment that we live in, and taxes are part of that. We should always be looking for a way to compete with the other 49 states in the country and internationally, so that businesses want to locate in Iowa and the ones that are already here have an opportunity to grow. So this has got to be more than just we're going to make a one-time change. We've got to continue to look at how we become more competitive across the board in a number of areas, regulatory areas. The budget matters, the stability of the budget, and then certainly tax environment. What just the cost of doing business in our state looks like.
Awesome. Well, hey, Drew, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. That's a good note to end on. Before I let you go, prospects in the House, what does it look like? Do they have their own companion bill, or are they going to take up the Senate file?
I don't think they're simply going to take up the Senate file. They actually just held their first subcommittee on the governor's proposal today. Thursday, and so they're going to start working from that framework. I think everybody is fairly clear-eyed inside the Capitol that eventually this is going to be worked out in a conference committee. There are some really substantial differences between the Senate and governor's plan, and then there are also some similarities. So eventually they're all going to sit down and hopefully sing kumbaya and come up with a great package that works for everybody. But we always want your listeners to know that it's important they weigh in on this as well. And so we would certainly love folks to just check out iataxreform.com. Send their legislator a quick note. Make sure that that we're talking about good tax policy between both the House and the Senate. That eventually we get a good law that's done this year. But the Senate is a little bit ahead in that race right now. But eventually things will even back out, and they'll all have to come to an agreement.
Right. So what's the House file number, or is it study
bill? Right now it's House Study Bill 671.
Okay. All right. And are they including corporate income tax reform, since they're basing it off the governor's priorities?
It is not currently in their package.
Okay. I figured it wouldn't be, since it wasn't part of a condition of the state. So, okay. Well, hey, sure. Drew, thanks for the information. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much, Shane. Have a good one.
All right. Take care. That concludes today's episode of the Caffeinated Thoughts podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you happen to be listening somewhere other than on CaffeinatedThoughts.com, be sure to check out CaffeinatedThoughts.com. Again, that's CaffeinatedThoughts.com. You could just Google Caffeinated Thoughts and it will show up at the top of your search screen. Hey, this is Shane Vanderhart, and until next time, my friends, take care.